By a quick show of hands, how many people have, to some degree, been following the presidential election so far this year? Okay. Good. Now, I'm going to ask you to be honest for a second. How many of you, who just raised your hand, would admit that in determining to some degree, or influencing to some degree, who you like or dislike in this upcoming presidential election, that looks and appearance have played a role? Well, one of two things is true. Either you're not being terribly honest with me, or you're terribly different than most other Americans. 2 years ago, the University of California did a study which showed that appearance alone can affect as much as 13% of a candidate's votes. Up to 13% of the votes that they get can be determined simply by appearance. A follow-up study at Princeton did the following. They took a whole bunch of people and they took all of the pictures from all of the candidates who were running at that point in both the gubernatorial races that were happening in the United States at that time and the U.S. Senate races that were happening at that time. They took the pictures of each of the candidates from each of the races. And they put them in front of a whole bunch of people. And they asked them to guess, based on looks alone, who's going to win. Want to know what percentage they got right? In the gubernatorial races, the races for governor, they got the right candidate 69% of the time. And for the U.S. Senate, they got the right candidate 72% of the time. Knowing nothing more about these candidates than how it was. There are those who say that if you go back to the list of presidents, there were a number of presidents, well-known presidents, people like Abraham Lincoln, William Taft, perhaps even FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who, if they had to run in contemporary times in the world of the modern media, where pictures are all over the place, where videos are everywhere, they would have won. They would not have become presidents of the United States because they didn't look the part nearly enough. And today, so much of who gets elected and who doesn't is about the way they look, whether they look presidential enough, whether they look competent, or they don't. In fact, in a political debate, Abraham Lincoln was once called by his opponent two-faced. Two-faced. To which Abraham Lincoln responded, "If I had another face, do you think I'd be using this one?" This issue of looks, of looks and its influence on the way we think about people, is something that I would imagine for most of us we would associate with the Western world, with perhaps a shallowness of the world that we live in, and I think as modern Orthodox Jews we probably imagine it's somewhat antithetical to what the Torah has to teach us. That the West, Mark Twain writes, that the clothes make the man, and Pirkei Avos writes, "Al tistakel v'kan kana l'mashi yesh bo," don't look at the vessel, but what's inside. That the very issue, the very essence of what tzniut means for boys and for girls, is that we emphasize the inner beauty rather than the shallowness of the external beauty. Yet you open this morning's parsha. Tomorrow's parsha. You open Parshat Tetzaveh and you get a very, very different sense. Parshat Tetzaveh focuses almost exclusively on clothing. On the clothing of the Kohanim, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol in particular. Whether golden tiaras and jewel-studded breastplates are your thing or not, there's no way to avoid that the Torah emphasizes them to a very significant degree. In fact, when the Torah gives us the command to make these, it says you should make them lechavod u'litfaret. That the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol in particular, should wear these What's kavod? For honor. What's tiferet? Tiferet someone? Splendor, glory. Make them for honor and for glory. So you'll tell me, oh Rabbi, what that means is for the glory of God. Right? For kavod of Hashem, and I'll tell you that is what the Sforno says. L'chavod hakel yisbarach. But I'll also tell you that it's not what the Rebbe says. And that's not what the Rebbe says. And it's certainly not what the Nitziv says. The Tzitz writes as follows. The Chavod L'Tifar, he makes it extremely clear. He says as follows. The purpose of the Big Day Kahuna was so that the people would look at the Kohanim and give them respect. Look at them with splendor and with glory. So that they would look presidential. So that they would look priestly. So in fact, the Torah and our Western system don't seem to be that different. They both seem to recognize what is a fact of human nature. That God created us in a way, we're wired in a way that looks matter. That the way a person appears affects the way people think of them. That's the way God created us. And so yes, the Torah says, a kohen gadol should dress in the kavod and the tifaret, because we want people to see them that way. Because we know that it impacts. And how the kohen gadol doesn't dress that way, doesn't dress the part, people aren't going to think the same way. The thing is, that the lesson of the Big Day Kahuna goes beyond. At least according to the way the Nitziv reads it, there's another lesson here also about human nature and the human psyche. A lesson which the Western political tradition knows but needs to be reminded of, and a lesson which we all could benefit from remembering. If we keep reading in the description of the Big Day Kahuna, we come to what is particularly troubling or particularly difficult passage to figure out exactly what it means. The Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol is to wear a me'il, a tunic, an outer covering of some sort, and then on the bottom of it is to be lined, palon zahav the rimon, al shalei a me'il saviv. It's supposed to have pomegranates and bells, pomegranates and bells all the way around the bottom of this beggar. By the way, if you go on YouTube and you put in something like priestly bell, you will find that 2 years ago, archaeologists in Israel actually discovered a bell fitting exactly this description in the archaeological finds of the southern wall excavations. And not only that, but it still rings. So you can go on YouTube and you can hear what is presumed to be a bell from the Kohen Gadol of the gathering that still rings today. So he's supposed to line the bottom of this garment with bells. And the passage says afterwards, V'chayav Aharon Sharik V'nishma Kolo V'vokok El HaKobesh L'Vnei Hashem V'Teita V'Lorim. That this should be on Aharon when he does his service. V'nishma Kolo, and his voice will be heard. V'vokok El HaKobesh, when he comes into the Kodesh L'Vnei Hashem V'Teita, when he goes out V'Lorim Yamut, and he won't die. And so the Nitziv asks, what is going on here? Since when does the sound of bells prevent somebody from dying? What does it mean? And he said, no, the whole thing is strange. It says he should wear it until you hear the bells when he goes in El HaKodesh. What does that mean? El HaKodesh? Where does the Kohen Gadol go in that's particularly holy? The Kodesh Kodashim, right? So maybe this means that Aaron should wear this beggar when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim so that he doesn't die. What's the problem with that?
He doesn't wear it.
Precisely! The one day that he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim, he does not wear this beggar. He doesn't wear the bells. So that couldn't be what it means.
So maybe it means when he goes into the Kodesh,
not the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Hincha. Oh, what's the problem with that? He's not the only one who goes into the Kodesh. The other people have to go also. And they don't have to wear the bells. So why does he have to wear bells when he goes in? So that he doesn't die?
And nobody else does. And furthermore, it says the Nitziv.
I understand maybe. Then he has to ring these bells when he goes in. He has to have some sort of sound, feels like a doorbell, tell the guy, hey, I'm coming. Not to sneak up on it. Why does he have to wear it when he goes out? It says when he goes in and when he goes out, so that he doesn't die.
So says the Nitziv in this rather typical fashion, says we've been reading this pasuk all wrong for many hundreds of years. He says this is what the pasuk means.
These bells, the bells that ring every time a Kohen Gadol moves, it's just like the other Big Day Kahuna.
It's there, lechavod le'tifaret. It's there to promote the glory of the Kohen Gadol,
just like when that president steps off his presidential airplane and they start playing Hail to the Chief, and music plays and trumpets blare, so too when the Kohen Gadol moves, he moves with bells that ring. It's part of our respect and our awe of him.
So says the Nitziv as follows. Here's what the pasuk says. V'haya
al Aharon Hashem. It should be an Aharon when he does his service. It doesn't refer to bells. If it was referring to bells, it would say not it, but they. They should be an Aharon when he does his service. That's not what it says. It says, it shall be on our own when he does his service. V'nishma kolom el hakoneh b'vohu el hakoneh shalei ha'amayim b'teikto v'lo yamut. It shall be on him when he does his service, so that when he hears its sound, when he goes in and goes out, he won't die. It should be on him. What's the it? Says the Nitziv very clearly. It is the medium. It is the tunic itself. And you know what the tunic was made out of? There were definitely people in this room who know what the meal was made out of. What was the meal made out of? Alright then. The meal was made out of tefillah. It was made out of this dyed wool. What color was tefillah? A blue.
Of the sky, which reminds us of God's presence among us.
And so says the Torah, the Me'il, which was 100% Techelet, was there to remind the Kohen Gadol that when the Kavod and the Tefarah comes his way, when the bells ring, when people look at him and look up to him and say, ooh, he needs to remember that it's not about him, it's about something above.
Could provide. So the Hayah al Aharon, the Me'il has to be on him.
He needs to see that, so that when he hears the bells and he sees the pomp of the ceremony, he sees the way people are looking at him, it doesn't go to his head. He remembers this is doing this for a greater cause, in service of something bigger and better than himself. And so that to the Torah is the lesson. The Big Day Kahuna. Yes, it's true. Appearances matter. Yes, it's true that people vote sometimes by nothing more than the way somebody looks and says the Torah at times that can be good. We should understand that. We should dress in a way that wins people's respect. That makes people look up to us. We also have to remember that power corrupts. And then when we have hundreds and thousands of people waving signs with our name on it, and doing anything they can to get us into office so often they can go over our head. We can forget that this is about some sort of higher service. About doing something for a greater good. And that's why the Me'il is part of the Big Day Kahuna, to remind the Kohen, as much as it's important that people look up to you, you need to look up to something else and remind yourself, it's not about you.
said something bigger than me.
A few weeks ago,
we read that we ourselves are called by the Torah, Manate Kohanim. We are supposed to be Kohanim
in our lives and in our relationships with the rest of the world.
We are there to service.
We are there to lead.
Kohanim are Kohanim within the Jewish people. All of us are Kohanim to the world at large. And so the lessons of the Kohanim are the lessons for us.
That we too need to be conscious of the fact
that the things we do, the way we dress, the way we hold ourselves, the way we interact affects the way people will think of us. Whether you like it or you don't, that's the honest truth.
That's the way we're wired.
So we need to be conscious and sensitive of the image we're portraying.
Because it impacts the way people think of us. And when we succeed in gaining the respect of those around us,
each of us in our own way, finding a place where we can lead, where we can make a difference, where people are looking to us
for some sort of guidance and some sort of insight,
when we've done that, people are looking at us,
we need to remind ourselves again. It shouldn't go to our heads.
Us. We're there, and God's put us there,
and we have these opportunities to make the world a better place in the service,
not of ourselves, but of something higher
in the service of God.
Have a good job,
Scott.